How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Deuteronomy 15:6, for the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised, and you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none.
He also went to Deuteronomy. That scored for the good governor, but when you got a $14.3 trillion debt, it's kind of late for that message to have a strong impact.
Believer, non-believer, no differences. We all same. So that's my number one commitment.
The church that survives is the one that proclaims Jesus, not the pastor, not the megastar, not the latest entertainment craze, but that constantly focuses back on the cross.
Moms in Ohio love Issues Etc.
Well, you know, when people compare a case to the O.J. Simpson trial, it has caught national attention. Of course, Casey Anthony, the death of Kaylee Anthony, and that case, the verdict that followed, caught national attention. It also stirred and still continues to stir national outrage. But is there a glaring, obvious to some, mysteriously hidden from others, inconsistency in the national outrage over the death of this little girl, perhaps at the hands of her mother, perhaps not, but so many in the court of public opinion assume at the hands of her mother? We'll talk about that inconsistency. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Tuesday afternoon, the 19th of July. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Colleen Carroll Campbell will be our guest first, then Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will join us to talk about GOP presidential candidate Michelle Bachmann and Lutheran beliefs regarding the papacy. Then we'll talk about the International House of Prayer. Is it a cult out there in Kansas City? Bob Lico will be our guest. Colleen Carroll Campbell is host of a radio and television program called Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Why, even apart from the verdict, was the case of Casey Anthony and her daughter the subject of such national outrage?
Well, I think there were a couple of reasons. Number one, it was largely tried in the media. We knew every detail about Casey Anthony and her behavior after her daughter went missing, which included, of course, wild parties, erotic dancing, getting tattoos, not reporting her daughter's disappearance, leading investigators on a wild goose chase full of lies, and blaming it all on a fictional nanny. So obviously this woman looked pretty guilty, and the public knew that, and so that made the death of this sweet little girl more outrageous, because of course the girl looks very, you know, darling in the pictures we've seen. She's only 2 years old, you know, innocent obviously, and clearly born to a mother who was more focused on number one than taking care of her child. But I think also in many ways Casey Anthony embodied in an extreme pathological form the same kind of narcissistic syndrome that we see among many young parents today who are men and women today, at least, who think the world revolves around them and their own desires, and they feel they have no responsibility to the children that they conceive. And you know, we hear cases every day of child abuse or, you know, appalling treatment, especially of newborns and that sort of thing. And I think in many ways she just kind of crystallized all of that, and it all kind of came to be symbolized by Casey Anthony and her partying.
With the verdict, of course, the outrage is amped up exponentially. Do you detect a national inconsistency here?
Well, I do. And the reason is that if Casey Anthony had snuffed out her daughter's life 3 years earlier, when Kaylee Anthony was still in utero, there'd be no discussion at all about this case, not even if it had been a late-term abortion. In fact, no one would probably know. You know, we have a million-plus abortions a year in this country. Children are being killed all the time because they prove inconvenient to their parents, because mom still wants to party or dad doesn't want to have to settle down and help pay child support. So the idea of a parent being so narcissistic that he or she would take the life of their child or at least endanger that life by not paying attention to the child or doing what needs to be done for the child's good, for us to funnel all that outrage at this one person, I do think is inconsistent because, as I've said, we have an abortion on demand law in this country that's accounting for the deaths of more than 1 million children a year who are quietly, you know, their lives are being snuffed out every day, and we're not getting up in arms about it. We also have a number of high-profile cases that haven't gotten much attention, but there's no prosecution whatsoever against parents for doing pretty atrocious things to newborns because of our abortion laws, because there are so many loopholes that our abortion-on-demand regime allows a parent to slip through when they're mistreating a child who isn't considered fully alive in the eyes of the law.
So it's also a legal inconsistency.
Well, in some ways, you know, you could, of course, say that our laws are consistent by allowing abortion at any stage because we know a human life is a human life, no matter how big, no matter how old. So if you're allowing the killing of some human lives, the others seem more appalling to us. And certainly a girl like Kaylee Anthony running around 2 years old, that's much more appalling in our eyes because we can see her than, you know, the quiet late-term abortion of another child. But really, in God's eyes and in the eyes of the moral law, it's the same. But we've also had cases. I mean, there was a case in Virginia in 2009 where a mother in her 20s gave birth in her grandparents' home and suffocated her newborn. Police knew about it. They found the mother. She was not remorseful, but they said they couldn't prosecute because the umbilical cord was still attached to the child, and the placenta was still in the mother at the time she suffocated her baby. And as the investigator said, she could shoot the baby, stab the baby, do whatever she wanted. As long as it's still attached to her, it's not a crime. And that's, again, because of our abortion laws. We had another case the same year in 2009 in Utah where a 17-year-old pregnant girl who, with her boyfriend, had conceived a child, neither one of them wanted, paid a man to punch her 5 times in the stomach. She was trying to get a miscarriage going. Prosecutors had tried to convict her for solicitation of murder, but the judge dismissed the case because he said under Utah abortion law, any and all procedures undertaken to kill a live unborn child are legal. So this is just a woman exercising her right to choose. Now, of course, in some of those cases, people who became aware of them were incensed. But again, what is the difference, really, between a child who's halfway out of the birth canal or all the way out but still connected by the umbilical cord, or for that matter, 7 months in utero, or for that matter, 8 weeks? I mean, if it's a human life, and we believe that human lives should not be snuffed out for the convenience of parents, then we should take all that outrage that we've directed at Kaylee Anthony and spread it around a little and look at our abortion laws, the one we countenance every day, and we kind of yawn and keep flipping our remote to the next case to look for the next great villain who can embody everything we hate about our culture when we are quietly acquiescing to an abortion regime that's killing many more children than Kaylee Anthony ever could.
So you have connected the dots between the extreme case of adult narcissism with Kaylee Anthony and the unnoticed many cases of adult narcissism that result in the death of unborn children in the millions every year. Why do you think otherwise very bright people looking in on our culture failed to connect those dots?
I don't think we want to see the connection. I think those who see no connection between abortion and violence against children who are outside of the womb and for that matter, just the escalating violence in our society in the last few decades anyway, if you don't see that connection, I don't think you want to. I think it's logically consistent, but you can still sort of pretend it's different because, well, I can't see that baby or, you know, that was in utero and this is a baby who's already been born. It's a somewhat arbitrary distinction, but, you know, many of us, too, are complicit in this abortion regime. I mean, Guttmacher, which is the Planned Parenthood research arm, put out a study a few years ago that said if current trends continue by age 45, 1 in 3 American women will have had an abortion. And for every woman who's had an abortion, there's usually a boyfriend who went along with it, somebody who drove her over to the clinic, maybe even her own mother. So there's a lot of... there are a lot of Americans who are complicit in this abortion regime. So again, it becomes easier to isolate and identify one person who seems so beyond the pale that we can all hate her rather than to look again at the deeper problem of abortion in this country and how it does lead to a devaluation of human life that, in fact, makes cases like the Kaylee Anthony case more likely to occur because they are, you know, they're child abuse and endangerment cases. And frankly, if you're telling a mother you can do anything you want to that child until it comes out of your body and the cord is cut, but you expect her the minute the cord is cut to suddenly become Mary Poppins and treat her child with the utmost respect, I think you're being unrealistic. Certainly, the average mother would never want to hurt her own child, but there are women who are under, you know, have psychological problems, they're under a great deal of stress, they're very vulnerable to listening to distorted messages in the culture, and those are the women who are getting a strong message from this culture that you come first, even if it means the cost of your child's life. And they're not making a big distinction between whether that child is in utero or out of utero. And frankly, for their failure to make that distinction, we also, all of us who've been complicit in you know, in these laws and in any ways not been fighting them ourselves, we share some blame there.
Colleen Carol Campbell is host of the radio and television program Faith and Culture, author of the book The New Faithful. And she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can read them at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Colleen, thanks.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
When we come back, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will join us from GetReligion.org. It's been in the news, and many in the press are having a hard time sorting out what exactly Lutherans believe about the papacy and the Antichrist. Of course, it's in the news because GOP presidential candidate Michelle Bachmann, formerly a member of a Lutheran denomination, when the press does a little digging, discovers this fact of the Lutheran confessions. Now, how has it been covered by the media? How does it play in with the, what shall we call it, meltdown mentality when it comes to conservative GOP female presidential candidates? Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is with us after the break. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
An umbilical cord of biblical truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1968, Bob Edson perfected the sauce of his dreams. He called it Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce because it tastes great on everything. Country Bob's also has a line of specialty sauces like All-Purpose Spicy, Honey Habanero, or Apple Chipotle, if you like it hot. You can find Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce at your local grocery store or log on to CountryBob's.com and find out more, like a Country Bob's cookbook or recipes on their blog. No matter what you're grilling or cooking, it all comes down to the sauce. Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11-inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.